Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Sing
to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great is He as God. To Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory. Great is He as God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right, good morning, everybody. Happy New Week. Thank you. Thank you. So glad you're in church this fine morning. All right, bring out your Bible, your notes, ensure your phone is on silent. Go off WhatsApp or any social media platform so you don't get distracted. God has a special word for you today. Do you believe that?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You know, there is a devotion of coming to church. So you can come to church because you know that's what you're supposed to do without any specific expectations. But my thought is always, if God is here, then something is going to happen. Let me share a secret with you. Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
All right, let me share a secret with you. You know, there are times, maybe during the weekend, and maybe I feel some discomfort. All right? Or maybe Wednesday morning, then when we used to have SUD services, and I'll feel some discomfort, maybe it might be something in my mind. Always so certain. I mean, I've gotten so used to it that if I come to church, by the time I'm done service, everything is gone. I would have to remember that something like that was happening to me. So I noticed that, and then it became my expectation. So during the weekend, let's say you were beating people until your hands started paining you. If that happened to me, I'm certain after service, you'll be fine. Why? Because God is here. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He is. In Luke chapter 5, the Bible says He was teaching and the power of God was present to heal. I'm talking about Jesus. Was present to heal. And you had lawyers and Pharisees in that meeting. Maybe some were not feeling fine, but they were not conscious. But that was the same meeting that the Bible tells us four friends brought one of their friends that was paralyzed, and they destroyed Jesus' roof so they could place him in front of Jesus. And because the power of God was present to heal, all Jesus said, He didn't say, man, you are now healed. That's not what He said. He didn't say, you cannot walk for how long? Oh my goodness, now everybody pray. That's not what He said. The power was already there. Do you understand? So He said, rise up and walk. It's like when there is light, the power is already in the building. All you have to do to make the bulb come on is to switch it on. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
It's to switch it on. It's already there. And so when you come to church, this is the congregation of the mighty. The Spirit of God is here. The angels of God are here. All you have to do is to be expectant. Your expectation is like switching on that switch. And then you live better. I'm saying that to say there are people who have had problems in their bodies. They've gotten used to it, and they go to church every Sunday. Church is not just a religious place where we gather. It's a place of solutions. And so don't get used to what God did not give to you. The Bible says every good and perfect gift is from God. If it's not good and perfect, it should not be in you. So when you come to church, it should go away. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't have to be a healing service. Just by hearing the word. Just by hearing the word. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right, you're ready now, right?
Yes.
It's a year of laughter.
Ah.
Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
And it's a month of soul winning.
Hooray.
Yes. The month of soul winning. And I want to share some things with you that I think are basic, but you should hear because they would make you better. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They'll make you better. Number one thing that every Christian should always remember. Are you listening to me?
Yes, Pastor.
Always remember, you don't serve God with your mind. That is so important. Because in your mind, you might have an idea of how you think God should be. Are you following me?
Yes, Pastor.
What you think God is like. Growing up, you had an idea of what you think God is like. How you think he should talk. That's why the guy, he has serious headache. And then you ask him what the problem is. He said, oh, God is angry with me. Why? I've not prayed for a while, so God is punishing me. That is his idea of how God is like. And it might sound nice. It might sound like something that is true. You can go and tell all your friends that I think this is how God is. They say, yes, it's true. All of you ignorant. Say, yes, it's true. But you could be very wrong. You don't serve God with your mind. Say it. Say, I don't serve God with my mind.
I don't serve God with my mind.
What I mean by that is not that you should not be thinking. I'm saying don't sit down and calculate how you think God is. Because you could be very wrong. One example comes to mind. You're listening to me, right?
Yes, Pastor.
Of one particular leper who was a general. You know who that is?
Yes.
Naaman. How many of you have heard of Naaman before? In case you have not heard, you can still raise up your hand. You have heard now. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Naaman was a general, a Syrian general, but he was a leper. Imagine being a mighty man of war, but people can't really come close to you. He was a leper. And so they had captured one Israelite, and she was acting like the maid to his wife. And even the girl became offended. She had to go and tell her, madam, see, if my oga would just go to Israel, there's a prophet there, Elisha. He would deal with this leprosy and it would be over. And so the word got to Naaman. Naaman decided to use diplomacy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I know there's a beautiful baby who is affirming everything I'm saying. Are you noticing?
Yes.
Once I talk, baby affirms. Yes, but for now, the baby can affirm somewhere else. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Those that got my message got my message. All right. And so Naaman went to meet the king of Syria and told him, please tell the king of Israel that I'm a leper and I want to get well. That's all he told him. Meanwhile, the girl had said there's a prophet. It's not the king you should meet. You should meet the prophet. And so when the news came to the king called all his elders and said, are you seeing how this king is looking for war? Am I a miracle man? Am I a doctor? Why will he say I should heal someone's leper? But Elisha, the man of God, knew what was happening, and he sent a message to the king. He said, don't worry. Tell the man to come. I'm trying to tell you, you don't serve God with your mind. And so Naaman finally went to Elisha. He said, remember, this is a great man, a general. If a general is coming to your house, you arrange your parlor. You tell all your neighbors, not just in the compound, in the streets. You go and borrow. If you don't have rug, you can use wrapper. If you don't have wrapper, you can use leaf. At least that's what they use for Jesus. Okay? You borrow that so that the general can come in. And so now Naaman is going to Elisha's house. I love men of God. God is greater than all. They really don't send. So he was coming and he got to Elisha's house. Do you know the shocking thing? Elisha did not come out to meet him. Elisha sent his servant, tell him to go to Jordan and dip 7 times, you'll be fine. So the servant came and told Naaman with all his bodyguards, entourage. He was standing expecting someone to say, now, Saul, you can come in. And so him too, he comes in. And so here comes Gehazi. And he said, he's about to come. He said, no, wait. And the prophet said, go to Jordan and dip 7 times, and you'll be clean. The Bible says Naaman was angry. He was wroth. He was so angry, he left that place. And while he was leaving, he started talking. He said, I thought he would come out and meet me. An important, let me show you. Go to 2 Kings. I like the way a particular version puts that. 2 Kings 5. This is not my message, but we're entering there. 2 Kings 5, verse 11. 2 Kings 5, verse 11. If you're there, say, I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say, wait for me. I'm waiting for someone. Have you reached?
Yes.
All right, 11. I'll read from KJV first. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. So you can see he had a picture in his mind. Let me read from a simpler version. Bible in basic English. You can just listen. But Naaman was angry and went away and said, I had the idea. You don't serve God with your mind.
Yes.
You don't use your idea. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I reason am say, now so God go react. You don't reason am. All right, I'll finish. He said, I had the idea that he would come out to see such an important person as I am. That's what I want you to see. He thought he was such a great man. It's not every day a great man comes outside. At least come and look. And make prayer to the Lord his God. And with the wave of his hand over the place, make the leper well. You know, it's like the guy who says, I've been going through one family problem from another. I think it's a curse. It's been happening for years. And then you say, okay, Jesus can make you well. He said, yes. But you know what he's expecting? He's expecting deliverance. Hot deliverance service. 7 days prayer and fasting. Not just that, he must cry. They must be crying. Why? Because this case is so serious. When you tell him, in the name of Jesus, you're well, he said, no. Can't be like that. He's like Naaman. Let me finish what he said, just for finishing 6. Verse 12. So, you're noticing Naaman said, I thought he would come and pray. Oh God, heal this man, and then he will now touch the place. Or at least wave his hand. Are you seeing what he was expecting? But a man of God is a man of God. Verse 12. Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? How can he tell me to go and swim in that dirty Jordan? May I not be washed in them and become clean? So turning, he went away in wrath. So he was angry. Why? Why was he angry? Because he had an idea of how his healing should happen. And because it did not go that way, he was upset. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He was upset. I remember a story I heard. I was going to share it last week. Of 2 men praying to God. One, a very wealthy man. The other, a very broke man. In his own mind. And so they were praying. And so the wealthy man was just communicating with God, you know. Not shouting. Just, you know, he needs some contracts. And, you know, they're in the same place. Needs some contracts, you know, talking about maybe Shell, NNPC, slow voice, can't shout. He's a big man. The broke man was shouting, oh God, just 5,000 naira. He was sweating. Say, do it, do it. He must have been really desperate. You know what happened? The rich man was praying, and now this guy was interrupting him. And so he went to meet him. Say, how much do you want? Say, 5,000 naira. I said, take it, get out, get out. Who cares? He got his answer anyways. And so the point is, at times, you have an idea of how God should react, of what God should like, of how he should talk, or you could be desperately wrong. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You can be inspired by other people's examples, but don't limit God to those examples. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
One other example that comes to mind is Jesus. In Matthew chapter 8, he met a leper. And the man said, Master, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Another leper, can you imagine that? And Jesus said, I am. And he touched him, and he was clean. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. And so everybody heard that. Everybody heard that miracle. The Bible says in Mark 1, it was so widespread that Jesus could not enter the city anymore. He had to stay in the wilderness until after some days he came to the city. Once they heard he was in the house, they gathered in the house again. Such a mighty miracle. Now, fast forward some years later, probably, in Luke 17, he's going to Jerusalem and he's passing Samaria. And he sees 10 lepers. What do you think the expectation would be? That he would go and touch all of them, just like he touched the first leper. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
That's the expectation. That's how he healed the first guy. So when they saw him, they stood afar and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Son of David, have mercy on us. Probably they expected him to say, all right, come, let me touch all of you. But that's not what he did. He stayed far and said, all right, go and show yourself to the priests. And they all got their healings, but different methods. So you can be inspired by someone's example. Maybe they were inspired that the guy got healed. Are you seeing it?
Yes,
and so they were expecting healing. But don't limit God to that example. Are you in this place?
Yes,
be like Jesus. Even if Moses split the Red Sea to pass, Elijah split the Red Sea to pass, Elisha split the Red Sea to pass. God is not limited to spitting water. You can walk on it.
Hallelujah.
And he did. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you don't serve God with your mind. So how do you serve him? It's simple. You serve him through his word. What he has said. There is no way you want to understand God's idea about a situation that he has not told you in his word. You serve him through his word. You look at the word of God. What has the word of God said? God will never act against his word. He is not different from the word. The word of God is God. And that's where an understanding of the word of God is so important. You let the word of God, says, renew your mind. Meaning what you have been thinking of God might not be good enough. So you change those old thoughts and you take up new thoughts. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That guy that thinks it will take a long time before God helps me. Who told you that? He heard it from his home. He heard it from school. He heard it in his workplace. He has believed it. Now it is difficult. A miracle that should take a few seconds. It's now tough. Why? Because of the way he's thinking. And let me tell you something. God cannot help you beyond the way you are thinking. That's why he gives you his word. To enlarge your view. That's what is called faith. You can believe for the impossible. Because if it's based on your mind, you want to rationalize it. You want to eat to be logical. But then he gives you examples in his word that anything is possible. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Anything is possible. And when you learn to serve God like this, you know what that's called? That's called being spiritually minded. When you're in a situation, you don't just react like every other person. You want to know the mind of God. And you can know the mind of God. It's not a mystery. That's why he has his word. Listen to this. If I said I was hungry and I want someone to get me food. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
And I'm talking and three people are listening to me. So they run and go and get food. One gets roasted monkey. Another gets boiled corn. Another gets fried rice and chicken. And the one with the roasted monkey even comes first. So, Pastor, you must eat my own first. What is it, roasted monkey? And the monkey is smiling. Then the second one comes with the boiled corn. And the third one comes with fried rice and chicken. You see, they did something. Yes. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
They tried to help. But I think the wisdom would have been to wait to hear what exactly I want. And how would they know what I want when I say it?
Yes.
They have to listen to my words. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
Now, the word of God are God's words. So you don't have to think or pray, what do you want? No, he has already said it.
Yeah.
He has said it. So you can know when you're doing the right thing. You can know when you're making the right decisions. Oh, you can know. A time can come in your life when you make a decision, you know, this is the right one. This is what God would want me to do. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
For example, what's the right decision? Three people sit down Friday evening under the tree. Cool breeze is hitting their head. And with that breeze comes the inspiration to insult pastors. They start insulting. Don't mind them. They're all stealing money, all of them. Look at all of them. And then you two, you go and sit down there. They say, so and so. Yes, so and so. They are all criminals. Yes. If you know the mind of God, you will get up and leave that place. That's the mind of God. Someone says, what if it's true? Doesn't matter. You will get up and do what? Leave that place. And when you leave, they can be saying, come now. Where they go? Come. But while you're going, you know you're making the right decision. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You're making the right decision. Yeah, you know, we used to hear this popular saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Now people, they will even tell you before they insult. In this place. I know the Bible says touch not, but let me tell you. So, I don't know who they are doing that for. But let me tell you something. All right? The Bible says, the servant, it is before his master he stands or falls. And God is able to make him stand. So the only person that can judge God's servant is God himself. That's the only person. And so maybe you have heard it many times. You have gotten used to it. Touch not my anointed. Touch not my anointed. Let me tell you something. It's true. Don't touch. Don't. Because I'm talking to you right now. I know so many examples in the Word of God. Let me give you one. You're with me, right?
Yes, Pastor.
The Bible says, the king of Gerar took Sarah as his wife. And it was Abraham's fault. I'm just trying to tell you that it was Abraham that was wrong. It was Abraham's fault. He went to tell them that Sarah was his sister. And she was. I in this place, but he did not want to die. So the king, out of the innocence of his heart, he was innocent, took her as wife. And then God appeared to him. Said, you're a dead man. No, Abraham didn't even pray to God because he knew he was wrong. He knew. You're a dead man. Because that woman is another man's wife. The king said, she is the one that told us. And then God said, all right, return back his wife. And this is where I'm going to. God said, ask him to pray for you. Because all, when you read down, you realize all the women in his family, their wombs had been shut. All the women doesn't mean those that are just above 18. It means the baby girl who's 2 years old, 6 months old. She would grow up after, now she's 20, 25, with no recollection of what happened, but would find it difficult to have kids and would not know it is one man that could not keep his hand to himself that caused it. And so the king was smart. He did not just go for prayer. He went with gifts, just in case. Another example, Moses. Moses was the law himself. You know, now you have lawyers, they call them the law. The law. Moses was the original the law. Was the law himself. He was the one who gave people. Do you understand? And God said, don't marry Gentiles. Marry yourselves. It's him that said it. Now, we don't know what happened, but for some reason, Moses got himself a foreign woman as a wife. Oh boy. And the Bible says that Aaron and his sister Miriam held a meeting trying to defend God. They say, can you imagine what Moses has done? Yes. That was, you know, when you look at it naturally, it's okay now. They are speaking on behalf of God. This Moses, he has done something wrong. Moses did not even know they held such a meeting. Like the three guys I told you, they just sat and started insulting ministers. The ministers don't know their name. They know the minister's name. Shows who's more, okay. But the minister doesn't know their name, but they sit down, they start insulting ministers from, it's not just Nigerian ministers though, they move abroad to the US. And the minister might not know, just like Moses did not know they had such a meeting, but God was there. So God called Moses, called Aaron, called Miriam. They didn't even know why he called them. Summoned all of them. Moses didn't know what was happening. And God said, oh. Remember, Moses was the younger brother. Yes, that's right. They were older than him. So even naturally, they seemed to have the right to rebuke him. God said, I called Moses, not you guys. You know what happened? Miriam was struck with leprosy. Why was he telling us all these things? So that today you can say, you can now talk? No. So you be careful. I said all of this to say, you can make the right decisions in life and know that this is what God wants. You can. And one story I want to share this morning, because it's still morning. You're listening to me, right?
Yes, Pastor.
Someone says, but me, I've been insulting ministers, so what do I do? There is redemption in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
All right?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, so the punishment you should have faced, Jesus has already faced. So you accept it. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You accept it. Someone says, boy, it's itching me. I must talk. Put it down back. Talking is not compulsory. Do you know?
Yes, Pastor.
It's not compulsory. Even if they come and say, what is your opinion on this matter? You don't have to give it. That's what Jesus said. If Jesus himself, who is God himself, and the word of God, told the Jews that I have many things to tell you, but the one that sent me told me what to say and what I should speak. You know what he's saying? He said, I have many things I want to... You don't understand. But the God who sent me told me what to say, so I can't just talk anyhow. That means you should follow his footsteps.
Yes, Pastor.
So if you have been talking, you can stop. If it's your family meeting, that's what people do as a pastime. So they started again. Look at this minister. Look at this one. This one is a new one. It's a new generation church. They've started. Look at him. That's what people do as fun. One person comes back from work. Hey, they gave me flyer. Oh, it's a new one. Oh, it's a new one. You can call them and say, look, it's time we stop this thing. If you continue, I won't be with you. One example, think about being spiritually minded. So you see, you can know you're a spiritually minded person. You can know. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
You can know. When you don't do things based on how you feel, you don't talk based on how you feel, you don't assume for God, you follow his word. Okay. There's a story, like I said, I want to share. It's popular. The Bible tells us that God called Abraham and told him to leave his father's house. And when he called him, Abraham took his nephew, Lot, his sister's son, obviously younger than him, and they started going, moving from place to place. And then Lot grew big. That's what the Bible says. Abraham became a very rich and great man. Lot too became a very rich and great man. And that is how rich and great people are. If you're rich and prosperous, others around you will be rich and prosperous. It will be that way. That's how we know you're truly rich and prosperous. Not the one that you're rich and every other person looks broke. I have some folks who go to their house. Their children look well-fed, pampered. The house help is probably a small girl, and she comes in with rags. What are you trying to do? They're trying to differentiate their special children from the house help. That's a poor man, a poor mindset. Because if you are wealthy, I'm digressing, but you're following me, Abby.
Yes,
okay. If we were sitting down here and someone comes to announce, town crier, a rich man is coming, a rich man is coming. And then his entourage will have to enter first. And people will see Agberos, hey, babao, babao, hey, hey, hail him, hail him. And he comes with the 9 suits. Are you in this place?
Yes,
but they all come, all of them, looking ragged, you know, hey, hail him, the clear road, Baba is coming. And then he comes. Hey, at least it's not everybody that has Agberos shouting for them. So, and this is a, this man, he tried, yeah. He's a rich man. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
And then the second great man is coming. And then, of course, the town crier comes again. The rich man is coming, rich man is coming. And then his entourage that comes, all of them suited up. I mean, you look at the suit, you know, this suit. This suit. Compare it. Suited up. They look like they've never had that sun in their life. You look at their phone, and they all just file in, maybe 7 of them. Excuse me, which one would you think is a really great man? You tell that girl, she's joking. Why? Because when you are great, through greatness, the people around you will be great also. And so that was the story with Abraham. So he became very rich and very great. And Lot too became very rich and very great. Just by following Abraham, God did not speak to Lot. God never talked to Lot. Lot never saw a vision. Just by following this man, everything, like those people that are into Forex now, and they'll tell you, just follow this investor. When he buys, buy. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. I'm not into, before he started looking at me with one eye, but I know how they pitch. All right, when this person buy, buy. When he sell, sell. Warren Buffett, anything is buying, just buy. So just by following him, the idea is you make some profits. And so just by following Abraham, Lot became very successful, very big, so big. The land could not contain him and Abraham. Abraham had servants, Lot had servants, to show how big this man was. And so now the servants started having what? Arguments. What would a wise man do if you were Lot? You should tell your servants, don't argue with my uncle's servants. Why? Because everything I have right now, you exist because of him. That's not what Lot did. They continued fighting until Abraham was the one who came and said, it's not right that, I'm talking about being spiritually minded. You're following me, right?
Yes, Pastor.
It's not right that our servants are fighting. Abraham was such a spiritual man. And so he calls Lot and says, all right, look, you have that place, you have this place. Pick anyone. That's a man that is spiritually minded. He said, pick anyone. If you go there, I'll go here. If you go here, I'll go there. No wonder God was so pleased. What a statement of faith. He's saying, it doesn't matter where I go to, I'll succeed. That's what he's saying. If you go to the U.S., I'll go to Ojobode. That's what he's saying. If you go to Ojobode, it's not like Ojobode is bad, though. Nobody should come and meet me. Okay. I'll go to the U.S. That's what he's saying. He said, pick anyone. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God was so pleased. And God did not say anything. He looked at both of them. The Bible says, Lot lifted up his eyes and looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. The sky was so blue. The grass so green. That looks like milk and honey in flesh. Think about it. You know, some people, I don't know, they need mentorship, at least guidance. The person, was it, you ask him a question. If I saw Lot today, I'll ask him a question. I'll say, is it the land that made you rich in the first place? You were not even there. That's why you're looking at it from afar. You were not there. Who made him rich? Abraham. What is that situation? Temptation to be poor. The guy who you followed all your life, learned all the business secrets and became wealthy, is telling you to leave him. What should you do? Say, I'll never leave you. Say, no, let my servants go there. I'm going to stay with you. Or you ask him, what do you want me to do? The Bible says, Lot looked the green field and he looked at this place, swampy area. He went to the green field. He thought he was going to outsmart his uncle. But you see, it is not green field that promotes. It is God.
Yes.
It's not green field. So Abraham did not say, oh, because I told you to choose now. That's the one you now chose. No, me and my family, we should stay here now. Is that what he said? No. He said he can go. That means when he was telling him pick one, he was serious.
Yes.
He knew. Wherever. Being spiritually minded. Not limiting God. No, you have the guy that is saying, God is telling me to leave Nigeria. He himself, he cannot do anything in this country. They think it's based on location. It is not. God in Nigeria is God in Canada. Same God. Say, I'm running from village people. Satan in Nigeria is Satan in Canada. Someone says, no, we don't see them in the bush. Yeah. But you see them in movies, they are carrying broom. Satan has not advanced. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says, when Lot left, God had been quiet since, being impressed with Abraham. When Lot left, God came to Abraham. I love God. Because when he talks like God. Abraham had given Lot two options. Look there. Look here. Anyone you choose. He didn't say it was his own. He said, go there. God came and told Abraham, all right, now look. North, west, south, east. Are you seeing it?
Yes,
that means even the place Lot went to, God says, look there. As far as your eyes can see, he didn't say begin to travel. Begin to travel. No. He says, I have given it to you. Because he was so impressed with Abraham's faith. So he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And the Bible says, in that moment, Abraham was smart enough. He saw the world. He saw the world. And that was when God gave the world to Abraham. Like the guy that God appears to, you want to start a software company. All you need is Apple laptop. Apple laptop. So God comes to you and says, what do you want? I can give you anything. You say, Father, just Apple laptop. All right, add mouse to it. The Apple mouse, but Apple laptop. Another person says, I want to dominate the tech industry. They are in the same city. The one that wants to dominate tech industry did not travel around. He's still there. But you see how far his eyes have seen. And it will be given to him. Okay. You hear that story I just said about Lot, Abi?
Yes, Pastor.
Shebi, you heard it?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. Let me end it. Then I'll tell you something. How did Lot end up after he left? He was kidnapped, him and his wife. It was Abraham, the one he left behind, that went to save him. At that point, Abraham now owned Lot. Because the person you deliver, you own. You would think Lot would say, Uncle, I'm very sorry, let me follow you, please. No, shame. Shame, he remained there. Until now, God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And why did God save Lot? The same Abraham he left behind. He was the one the angels came, and the Bible says they dragged him. He didn't want to go. They dragged him. The man who left his uncle to Sodom and Gomorrah, or Sodom, with wealth, so much wealth, by the time he was leaving Sodom, he had lost everything. He went with just his two daughters and a bag of salt. Fresh Ajinomoto. But the salt used to be his wife. That was not where the story ended, though. That one is already bad. Where did he end up? In a cave. A caveman. You see those cavemen in cartoons? Lots. That was not where the story ended, as bad as that was. His own children raped him. Okay, that was where the story ended. Why? Because he wasn't spiritually minded. That's the point I'm trying to make. He wasn't. Lubam says he looked up. He used his eyes. He used his sense. He looked up and he made that decision. Now, this story, it really happened. All right? It's not an analogy. It's not a story. It really happened. Because Jesus also heard that story while he was growing up. He did. But what's funny is what he took out from that story. And that's what I want to show you today. What he learned from that. Because now I've said this, so many of you have learned so many things, different angles. But there's something Jesus emphasized from that story. Go to Luke 17. Age is past. That is why your name, him, is forevermore. And if you like to drag songs, every worship song is a dance song. A worship. You've been faithful, Lord. Hey! From the ages past. There are people like me that every worship song you want to. There are people like Nife. Every dance song, I'm gonna dance and praise him. I'm gonna dance and praise him. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Anyone, it's nice as long as you're talking to the Lord. All right, Luke 17, are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
If you're there, say I'm there.
I'm there.
If you're not there, say wait for me. All right, who am I waiting for? Someone wonderful. But we'll start chatting you. I'm waiting for Google. If you're there, say I'm there.
I'm there.
Am I waiting for anybody?
No.
All right. Luke 17, verse 30. Well, let's start from 28. Because I saw lots there. Now, you notice it's in red.
Yes, Pastor.
So Jesus was talking to them. You know, Jesus was a preacher. All right?
Yes,
people
Pastor.
Think lonely man of Galilee. He was just walking. No, he preached. And he used examples from the Old Testament. Okay?
Yes,
so now he's preaching. He now remembered Lot and he added it to the message. All right, so look at this. Verse 28. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Verse 30. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Ajinomoto. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
He said, remember Lot's wife. Now, what is the unique thing about Lot's wife? It wasn't that she was greedy per se. It was that she became salt. But what he wants you to remember is why she became salt. What happened? The angel dragged them out of Sodom because the time was up. And while they were going, and the angel dragged them and said, all right, go. Don't look back. Just keep going. Just keep going. And Lot, his two daughters, they were going. But Mrs. Lot, she could not believe it. Ha! She could not believe it. She yelled, whoa! Say, hey! She couldn't believe it. Maybe she had money. You know, some people, they don't put money in bank. They put it, you know, foreign exchange. All the pounds. All her jewelries. And she had foo-foo-foo-foo. Say! She heard rustling. Is fire really falling down from heaven? Ah, let me just... bag of salt. I know the sad part. They knew something had happened to their mother, and Lot knew something had happened to his wife, but they could not look back. So they just noticed the woman that was complaining, hey, I can't believe you're going. I can't believe you're going. How can we be going? They're not hearing word again. What just happened? Don't look back. Don't look back. Now, why did she look back? Look at it. Verse 33. Whosoever shall, and then this is the message that Jesus wanted to pass across from that story. It says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Ha! Did you see that thing?
Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, then you just think, is Jesus just talking? Read this, let me read it again. It says, whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. It says, the guy who is so busy, he's hustling, he's trying to make his path, he has become the god of his own life. He's trying to work hard, trying to make it on his own. All of that, Jesus said, forget it. Everything is trying to keep you, lose it. You lose it. The one that is seeking, always looking at ways, every time. Is he going to church? No. He's writing exam, promotion exam, certificate. The people that have, they are certified, 100 certifications. And they are still looking for more. And that's not enough. Masters. Now, PhD. He wants to ensure that he doesn't leave any loopholes. He just said he's wasting time. All those things he's busy doing, that it looks like he's the only one. 1 minute he's in Paris. And to come to church, no, I'm in the airport. I'm about going to London. I can't come. He's going. Okay, did you pray today? Pray? While I was in the airplane, in the air, I said, God, you created the clouds. God, the breeze are yours. I just, you know, that's how I recognize God in my life. Jesus said, everything, you lose it. All the people he's working for. That's why he has some people that say, everybody my father helped. Now things went bad. They don't remember us anymore. But that is how life is. It's not a surprise. Jesus already said it. You lose it. But he says, but he one who... Okay, let's look at it. Let me quote it correctly. It says, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Now, is that one? Should I not kill myself? Then he says, I'll preserve it. But I just want to show you the seriousness of this statement. That is not just a one-off thing. This same Luke, go to chapter 9. Quickly now. I told you, you don't see how Jesus thinks. This is how God thinks. Man would think, the one who is everywhere, trying to be everything to everybody, is the one that will really have something at the end of the day. That's not how God thinks. So the one who is seeking is trying to do it on his own. He's not listening to you. He's not taking spiritual advice seriously. He says, listening to his friends. He's doing anyhow. God is saying that thing he's trying to build. That's how it will go. You lose it. Luke 9, verse 24. If you're there, say, I'm there. It says, for whosoever shall save his life, the same book, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Go to Matthew. Matthew 16, verse 25. Are you there?
Yes, Pastor.
Shall I say I'm there?
I'm there.
I read it. He says, for whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Go to Mark. Mark chapter 8. Verse 35. Shall I say I'm there?
Amen.
I want you to read it. Want to go. You know, you have that guy who has been looking for a job for a very long time. He's working, probably earning 30K a month. But he wants something better. Now he's complaining. God, am I not serving you? They call him, go for this interview. He runs, he goes, drop this. Every call, he's expecting. One day he's expecting a message at least to say you got the job. He looks at his phone. It rang. Message. Airtel. He's frustrated. Let me tell you something. There's nothing you are looking for. God cannot give you like this. He can. But there's something you might not be doing. He wants you to do. Go to John 12. remember someone was telling me that she didn't have time for her fellowship. You know. Now, there are different thoughts on that. I'll say that too. But she didn't have time for her fellowship. Quick story, because time is almost spent. And so she was reading. She was always in the library. Always nearly had this serious headache, just reading. And so when the results of her exams came out, you know, when she saw the exam in the hall, it was what she read. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
Good student. When the results came out, B. Not anyhow B, painful B, 69 B, 68 B, 69 B. And she said, can you imagine? She be the extra one. I could have just been going to fellowship than that one being removed from my mark. Now, my own thought is, and of course, it's true, it's a good lesson for her. But that doesn't mean you should not read, because someone can hear this thing now that I said and say, ah, that means fellowship is the way. Let's not read again. No, read. I know people will try to pray that God would turn question mark to seven, would blind the lecturer's eye. You see Christians and they are praying, and it's like it's a native doctor. Father, let him forget. Let him forget. Let them partake light that is working out. Invoking strange spirits. Okay, listen. God will not help you in that kind of way. Why? Because when you read and write the exam, the idea is you should know something. The exams come to test what you know, not to test the power of God. No exam comes to show that your God is powerful. Nothing. He's not the one that set the exams. All right? But then he can, when it's time for that exam, he can lead you in righteousness. Are you seeing it?
Yes, Pastor.
So you have 40 slides, but it's only one that is catching your eye. And that one, the lecturer said, it might not come out. But that's the only one. You open the slide again, that's the one. So let you just read it. You go to the exam hall. 5 questions, answer for all 5 on that slide. They're just in the exam, we're like, hey, that's what God can do for you. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So then you should be wise. Don't ignore him. John 12. Verse 25. If you're there, let's read it together. One to go. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hated his life in this world shall keep it unto what? So you see, everywhere he said it. That means this is beyond just Jesus suggesting something to you. He said, this is how life works. This is how life works. This is how it works. The guy who has lost his life for the gospel, and this is what he means. The guy who has been spiritually minded. His life has become one with God's gospel. The decisions he makes in his life are based on the gospel. That's why he said, lose his life for my sake and the gospel. He says, that man will save it. He's not losing anything. He's not. There are physical examples to that effect, but God's word is enough. He says, the one who seeks to save his life. You know people like that. Maybe you are like that also. You know, God has one space, but he doesn't control your life. You are the master of your own life. The decisions you make, that's what I mean, decisions you make, you don't consider God. You don't consider his gospel. It means nothing to you in reality. He says the decisions you're making based on that mindset is a waste of time. It is. I said, you don't serve God with your mind. You don't live your life with your mind too. You live your life based on God's word. You follow his instructions and his guidance. Like Lot, who made decisions based on his mind and see where he ended up, in a cave, and he lost everything. You might not see the next 20 years, but that's why he's showing you. He wants you to see through his eyes. So whatever decisions you're making, that is outside him and his gospel would be a waste of time. And he doesn't want you to waste time. I think I just think this number of years that you've been in this world, hope you have been making the right decisions. Hope you've not been wasting time. Hope you've not been building houses on sand. And when the challenges of life come, everything you have built would fall. I mean, we've seen it. One minute the guy had 3 cars. He was building a house. Something happened. And now he's with bike. He's begging for food. It's nothing to laugh about. He made the wrong decisions in life. And Jesus is not surprised. He said, the one who sought to save his life, wanted to preserve his life, preserve for his children, his family, that's what he was after. And he neglected God. Neglected the gospel. The gospel meant nothing to him. He says, whatever he's chasing, he'll lose everything. But the one who puts at his forefront the gospel. When you have lost your life, okay, let me show you something quickly. Mark 8. And we'll close. Mark 8. What does it mean by losing your life? Look at it. Mark 8, verse 34. He says, when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That's when he said, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Same thing he said in Luke 9 and Matthew 16. He's saying, take up your cross, deny yourself. It's a month of soul winning. At times you could be standing waiting for a cab, or maybe in your office. There is that guy who is not born again. If the gospel meant something to you, you will share it with him. Maybe in your room, your department, the school, your house, you have people who are yet to believe. If the gospel meant something to you, you share it with them. It says, lose your life. At times, you might not want to talk to the guy in the office. What will he think of me now? After I've talked to him, anytime I come, he'll run away from him. He said, lose your life. Don't care what others would think of you. Take up your cross, or take up the cross and follow him. If people look at you as a Christian and they have not remembered the cross or Jesus himself, you are not doing something well. And let no man deceive you. You're not doing something well. All they know about you as a Christian is that you are intelligent. You have a fine voice. You're a fine person. And nothing about Jesus. You have not yet taken up your cross. Someone can say, I don't want to annoy people. You don't want to annoy people. That's why he says, lose your life. So you stop thinking about what people think about you. Why? The man that has lost his life, which life is he thinking about again? Have you ever seen a dead man? They want to put him in casket. Say, no, not this one, not this one. Put it in gold. That means he's not dead. He has fainted. He's lying. The one who is dead, some they even burn them. Some, nobody cares. And he's not complaining. Don't mind those films that say, he came back, they did not bury him well. So he's tormented. His torment is a lie. Praise the Lord. Jesus did not say when the rich man died and Lazarus, the rich man went to meet his brothers. So upon my wealth, you people could not give me a good burial. No. Once they die, hell. If they've not believed. So he says the first thing, you have to learn to lose your life. Lose your life for the gospel. That's number one. For the gospel. Maybe in your catchment, they say, let's go preaching. You say, I can't talk. I can't just talk to strangers. No, you still have your life. You are still thinking of what people would think of you. Let me tell you something. What would it profit you to care about someone who doesn't know you, who doesn't like you, at least cannot like you more than God? Why would you care what that person thinks of you? Why? Don't care. Say, lose your life for the gospel. The gospel is number one, and you're not ashamed of it. Not ashamed of it. You meet someone, hello, My name is Lagbaja. Are you born again? The person says, the person wondering, where did that come from? While the person is still trying to figure out, I said, do you know what it means to be born again? I want to introduce Jesus to you. And while you're preaching, don't go there to do motivational speech. It's not time. Are you in this place?
Yes,
it's a month of sorrow. We'll go into that subsequent Sundays. But when you're going to preach to someone, don't avoid arguments. Be in charge of the conversation. You're the one that has something to give. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
But let the gospel mean something to you. That's where I'm going to today. Let it mean something to you. All your life, you're 20-something years old, you're 30-something years old, 40-something years old, nothing in relationship with the gospel that you have done. You just come to church and there you go. What a life. What a life. People might praise you, but those people don't matter. Jesus has already told you what will happen. Everything you have, you will lose it. So there's not in this world. When you leave, Uncle? So, you don't live your life based on your mind. You live your life based on the word of God. And it says to really live life, to really save your life, to enjoy life. The irony, he says you must lose it first. You know, when you lose your life, it's true, it's true. When you lose your life, nothing anybody says can pay you again. So see your big head. If a man is dead and they start insulting him, fat nose, big eye, will he get up and say, I don't blame all of you because I've died at me. I said he did not die, he fainted. The guy who has lost his life, nothing you say can make him feel sad. Nothing. He just keeps succeeding. And you keep succeeding. That's what the Bible says. That's what he said. He didn't say lose your life and suffer. Is that what he said? No. He said the guy that is trying to prevent suffering will actually suffer. But the one who has lost everything for Jesus, he says he will save it. He will save it. Say, I exist for the Lord Jesus Christ. That is living. That is how you have started living life. When you are known for the name of the Lord. The Bible says they beat the apostles, flogged them. Peter was a married man. Imagine flogging a married man, chances are with kids, in the public square. Flogged them mercilessly. Why? For preaching Jesus. The same Jesus that now you can preach. If you preach in the bus, the best thing people will do is, nobody's going to beat you. If you go and meet someone, say, are you born again? And say, but they won't catch you and beat you. But they beat them. The Bible says, when they let them go, they didn't say, oh, this is my old age. See the embarrassment? No, the Bible says they were joyful. They thought, so you mean we can suffer for God? That is real suffering. Not the one that cannot buy Gary saying, I'm suffering in the name of God. No, that is the real one. They say, so you mean we are worthy that people will beat us just for Jesus? Let me tell you, those people beating them, when they left the world, the person they saw as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords was that person they despised. So who made the right decision? The ones that they were beating. Nobody is beating you today. But live your life for Jesus. He's the most important. Say, I'm a radical for Jesus.
I'm a radical for Jesus.
Growing up, there was this song we used to sing. I don't know if you know it. Radical for Jesus. You know it? Radical for Jesus. Oh, radical for Jesus. I am a radical for Jesus. Doesn't sound like his song. Sounds very dry. But it's powerful. Because I remember those days. You see that kind of song? Maybe you're on your way to preach with your big Bible. Let me tell you, if you sing that song on the road, there's not anybody can tell you that can move you. You have already said you're a radical for Jesus. Let's sing it. Radical for Jesus. Oh, radical for Jesus. Radical for Jesus. I am a radical. Stand up on your feet. Say it like you mean it. Radical for Jesus. Radical for Jesus.
Radical for Jesus.
I am a radical
for Jesus.
Nobody should sing this song for you. Because there are people that keep quiet. They just while others are talking for them. No, this one. He says, the one who loses his life for his sake will save it. So the guy who is a radical for Jesus, that's the prosperous man. That's the man that will not lose what he has. That's the man with a sight of the future. So as you are singing it, it's not time for you to try to Hillsonganize it. It's a radical for Jesus. No, it's a marching song. Praise the Lord. Oh, radical for Jesus.